so I know I've been changed. Gotta show our kids it ain't about cursing and violence, but how to put God first. And that God is knowledge. Finish school and go to college, gon' make your parents proud. Don't get caught up in this game. Trapped on the block, make a way and pray for change. Keep the faith and just believe. Don't get caught up in this game. Trapped on the block, make a way and pray for change. Keep the faith and just believe.
My own testimony, my own story too. Sit back, peep this out. Might learn just something. It all happened so fast, just as quick as a decision. He showed me what I could be in the form of a vision. He showed me peace and love, and with that change, how to get it. All I had to do was open up my eyes and pay attention. First off, the problems thrown in your life aren't to defeat you. I use these problems as tools to strengthen and to teach you. I know it's gonna be tougher, son, please don't let it beat you. I'll never give up on you, so don't give up on me neither. Number two, I tell you, watch the company that you keep. Cause everybody around you ain't really on your team. Misery less company and anger steals your joy. And everyone who claims to be your homie ain't your boy. So if there is a problem and you're lost and feel without, just call up on my name, you know I'll work it out. And if you follow the conditions, your life will never be the same. I got God on my team, I know my life has changed.
Tuned in to the voice of the gospel, 88.1 FM, beaming the gospel in three states to over 100,000 listeners, 70,000 watts of continuous gospel power. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Nagatik. Stay tuned and focused, and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you now. We thank you for this people. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for the peace. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We thank you, Lord God, that we are strong. For you said in your word, let the weak say, I'm strong. Father, we thank you that we are rich. For you said, let the poor say, I'm Father, we thank you right now for all that you're doing and what you've done. Father, we ask God that you would give me clarity of thought and precision of speech. Let my tongue be as the pen of a ready writer. Lord, let the hearts of the hearers be the tablet in which it shall write the word of faith, the word of God that brings healing, deliverance, power, peace, and even prosperity to those that hear and believe. Father, we ask God that you would touch us, Lord God, today. That you'll touch us in a special way that we know that we've been touched. Just as the woman with the issue of blood, that she knew something within her had happened. Father, let something within us happen as we reach out and touch you. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, we ask you now, God, that you would heal, deliver, set free. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that covers, cures, cleanses, and connects us to you, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for the name of Jesus and the power it brings. We thank you for the word of God that strengthens and sustains us. And we thank you for the Holy Ghost who guides us and gives us what belongs to you. And Father, after you've done what you want to do in this service and you blessed our souls, made us whole, helped us, saved us, delivered us, given us peace, joy, and Lord, whatever else we can receive by being in your presence, Lord, we want to give you thanks right now in advance. And Lord God, we'll join with the many winged seraphim and the many eyed cherubim that chant and declare one to another that you are holy, you're holy, you're holy, and your glory fills the earth. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you now. Amen. Amen. Man, I want to use for a thought today because I just feel, I feel like a pastor this morning.
Amen.
Amen. A pastoral message this morning. I want to use for a thought, examining your soil. nutrients that the seed needs, or that the sprout needs, in order for it to be able to maintain, in order for it to be sustained in the sunny territory or in a sunny condition. So sometimes our condition can be hot, but we have root enough that we are able to stand. But if you're stony ground, you'll wither. When it gets too hot for you, you start to wither. I hope I ain't boring you, but it's important that you hear it. You got to understand that I can't be stony ground. If there's any rocks in you, if you got any stone in you, you got to get rid of it, because a stony heart can't receive anything. A hard heart. That's why Jesus said, when you hear the word, don't harden your what? Heart. Don't be hard. I know some of us pride ourselves on being hard. Tough. I'm macho. But that doesn't mean anything when it comes to God, because you're looking at somebody that made the man. So macho man don't mean nothing to him. We can try to be as macho as we want, as hard and as tough as we want, but when it comes to God, you can't be tough to God. Let me tell you something. Your arms are too short to fight God. You don't have enough wind. He is the wind. Lord, have mercy. But notice, it is deceptive, but not only that, it is deficient of the nutrients that is needed, because it only has a small layer of soil on top of a bunch of rock. That's why you don't ever see a whole lot of vegetation growing out of the mountains, because of the rock. All right, okay. And not only that, but when the sun comes up, it scorches it, and it causes it to dry up. And notice something. I want to say this, and then you can put this down in your notes. If you have no root, you have no fruit. You can tell the people who are rooted because they have fruit. They have fruit, and if they have fruit, then it they grow, and people can enjoy the fruit. If people don't enjoy you, they don't enjoy your love, they don't enjoy your joy, they don't enjoy the peace that you bring to a situation. If they don't enjoy you, then something's wrong. Where's your fruit? That means you may not be rooted like you think you are. Amen. Glory be to God. So I'm just talking to you this morning. Don't be stony soil. Examine yourself and see if you're stony. Examine yourself and see who you are, what you are. You know, and the thing about it is to be honest with yourself. You just be honest with yourself. God, the Bible said, he that worshiped me must worship in spirit and in what? Truth. So you need to tell the truth about yourself. Lord, I got some rocks. And every time it looked like the word will take root, look like it's growing, and all of a sudden something happens, the sun comes out and dry me up, and I ain't no good. It's okay, Lord, when it rains, I feel good, because the rain is the blessing, right? But when the sun comes out, what happens to the blessing? It begins to dissipate. You know how it is. When we get blessed, we say, oh, Lord, the Lord is blessing me. But then all of a sudden, when the sun comes out and you got to go to work, real life starts to happen. And then you start forgetting about the blessing, and the joy of the blessing that was in your mind now is dissipated. What happens to you? You decide that I don't need God like I thought I did. I think I can make it on my own. Well, maybe you don't really say that, but you say that in your flesh, because your flesh begin to dictate who you are, where you go, what you do. Because your spirit always going to tell you, no, you need to get up and go to church. Your spirit going to tell you, you need to get up and pray. Your spirit is going to tell you, you need to read the word. But then you got to battle with that flesh. And because you got rocks in there, the seed is not going to grow. The one thing about a seed is that it can, if you take a seed and you put it on a shelf, put it in a bag, put it in a box, put it in anything and put it on the shelf, guess what? It won't grow. It's just going to be a seed. But as soon as that seed, you ever spit a watermelon seed out? And then came back the next week or two, and then you start seeing these sprouts come up? Why? It's because as soon as the seed touches the soil, it begins to pull nutrients from it. I said something right there. As soon as the word gets into your life, the word begins to pull something from you that causes a beautiful growth that will produce a fruit. Amen? And it's important for us to have some good soil. And sometimes good soil means, and I'm getting a little ahead of myself, it means that sometimes we got to have some junk dumped on us. Right. Some manure will make things grow. Preach. I'm going to stop on that because I want to go further later. But we got to understand it takes that. And you know the what gives the onion the smell that it has? The onion has the smell that it has because of the sulfur in the soil. And since it draws from the soil, whatever it is in the soil is in the onion. Lord have mercy. All right, I'm going to leave it. Let me go a little further. He says, not only that, but he says the thorny soil. He says some fell among what? Thorns. Verse 7. And the thorns grew up and what? Choked it and yielded no fruit. It grew, but because of the thorns, it choked it. He says it choked it. The thorny soil means that it fell among some things that were already wild and growing. We got some wild stuff growing on the inside of us. We got some thorns that are there. We talking about a thorn in the flesh. It's because we grew it. Watch what you let and who you let plant into your soil. The Bible says that the soil, good soil, went out and he sowed, and then there was some, there was thieves and robbers. They came and they sowed some thorns and some, they sowed some tares and stuff in the midst of the good field. And the man woke up and said, he didn't plant that. Where in the world is this other stuff growing? You thinking, well, I didn't plant that. Well, somebody planted it. You entertained it. Oh, Lord. He said the thorny soil. It grows, and look, it grows with the weeds. But there's a competition in the growth. Whenever you have the weeds and the thorns and the tares growing in your life, the word has to compete with that. But then we don't get enough word, and we don't get enough water on the word. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You ever looked and saw that even if it didn't rain, you still had some weeds and some thorns and all of that stuff still growing? Your grass might be dying, but you got berry bushes growing in your... Because it doesn't take water. It doesn't take much water for those things to grow. All it takes is the planting. So you got to watch what's being planted in you because it doesn't take much for it to grow. Lord have mercy. But the good stuff, if you want something good to grow, if you want your garden to grow, you got to take care of the garden. But weeds grow anyway. Amen. And notice something else, weeds grow anywhere. Yeah. Lord. So he says that there are thorns, and notice he said that it choked it up. The word choke means like to suffocate. It suffocated or it choked it up. It kept it from being able to grow to the point where it could produce. Everything has to grow to a point to where it can produce. We don't automatically produce. We have to grow to the point to where we can produce. And if we stunt our growth, if we don't get the nutrients that we need, we retard our growth. We stun it, and we don't become what we could be. Lord, help me. Lord, help me in here. We must understand that I can't be thorny soil. I can't afford to have these thorns in my soil because if the word is sown, even though it starts to grow, it can't produce. You know people that I know the word, but they ain't got no and nothing producing in their life? You try to tell them, yeah, I know that already. You ain't tell me nothing. I don't. Well, why I got to keep preaching if you know it? We ought to get to a point that we don't have to keep preaching the same stuff to get you. I mean, we ought to grow from some things. I shouldn't have to get up every Sunday and say, you know, you need to stop lying and talking about people. I shouldn't have to get up and say, stop gossiping. I shouldn't have to say that because you already ought to know that. That's why the Bible says, Jesus said, I got stuff I want to tell you, but you ain't ready. Paul says that, he said that there are some things that I want to tell you, he said, but you're too carnally minded for me to tell you, so I got to keep going back to the carnality and talking about that to try to get them thorns out of you so I can make good ground. The writer of Hebrews, whether it's Paul or Apollos, whoever, but the writer of Hebrews said that when you should be teachers, you need to be taught because you're not ready. What's happened to the church? What's happened to us that we are not ready? Nobody ought to ever have to tell you to keep your pants up and keep your dress down. That ought to be something you already know. And we waste good preaching time on this kind of stuff. When we ought to be going further, we ought to be, the thorns ought to already be gone. There ought to be good soil for the word to be planted on. All right. All right, lastly, good soil. I know y'all ready for somebody to say, I'm glad he got the good soil. Maybe you're not wayside soil. Maybe you're not stony soil. Maybe you're not thorny soil. Maybe you're good soil. And thank God for good soil. But he says, and in verse 8, and other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased. Look at this. And increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Then he said, he that had ears to hear, let him hear. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. You got to be mature enough to understand and hear this. Because he said, good ground. He said it fell on good ground. And he said, and it yielded fruit and it sprang up and what? Increase. If your life does not increase, something's wrong with your ground. Something is wrong with your soil if your life has no increase. You cannot come to God and stay the same. You hear me? You cannot come to God and have the same stuff. I'm sorry, I know. Listen to me, I'm telling you. Because God is not a God that adds anyway. He's a God that multiplies. And you know what? God sometimes multiplies by dividing. Sometimes he adds by subtracting. But however he does it, he's a God that multiplies. And so there is no way that you can come to him and he let you stay how you are. That's how good our God is, that he will not allow you to stay like you are. He will not allow you to stay the same person you are. He's going to change that. He's going to give you a better attitude. He's going to give you a little bit more money. He's going to give you some more possessions because he said, through loving kindness have I drawn thee. And if you love somebody, you give to him. That's why he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We must understand that we have to come to God and he will increase us. He'll increase us. So, good ground. He said it increased and it brought forth, and I'm getting to it now, forth 30, 60, and 100-fold. Notice the whole parable here lets us know that out of 100% of what the sower sowed, 3/4 of it didn't produce nothing. 3/4 of what? It's 4. 3/4 of it, 3 out of 4, didn't produce nothing. 1/4 produced. And out of the 1/4, only 1/3 of the 1/4 produced to the full potential. Look at that. Only. Now, so let's, if we look at this whole room, only a third of the people in here will get full increase in their life because of what they allow the word to do in them. Let me just say this. If there's a 30, 60, and 100-fold, God is saying that there, even though you got something, there's always more. Even though you got 30, that's more. Don't be satisfied with 30. Always look for more. If you got 60, say, God, I need more. If you had 100, maybe you think you got it all, but then God said, you know what? You just go to another level of more. You go into the abundant level. So we got to understand here that there's 30, 60, and 100-fold. Now let's relate that to our lives. Let's relate that, because the 30-fold is the, you know, when you look at those three things, right? Those three things, God does things. Some people say he does it in threes. You know, he created man, he gave us spirit, soul, and body. You know, God is three, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. We have morning, noon, and night. You know, we have, you know, those things. And so when we start looking at what God has done, let's look at how he blesses us in threes, amen, and how what he did in threes relates to the Old Testament. Think about this. The Bible says that there are three feasts, right? There is Passover, then there's Pentecost, and then there is the Feast of Tabernacles. Anybody with me still? And so if you have Passover, which means Passover means that you got the blood of Jesus and you're saved. That's your 30-fold. Then you go from Passover into Pentecost. You know, not everybody went into Pentecost. Read the book of Acts. There was some that after the Passover, they waited for Pentecost, and Jesus told them, he said, go and tarry at Jerusalem, and I'm going to endue you with power. But there were thousands of them that went, and only 120 stayed. So what happened now? Only 120, that was a fourth of them that stayed. It was over 1,000 people that went into that upper room, and they couldn't stay because they couldn't wait for him. They couldn't be patient. They said, God's taking too long. Ain't nothing going to happen. A week went by and another week went by. But when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there was another move of God, a mighty rushing wind, and that was your 60-fold. They got a portion that others in the 30-fold didn't get. Those that believed, they believed, but they didn't have the Holy Ghost. Come on and say amen. That's why Paul says in Acts 19, have you received since ye believed? You need to get this Holy Ghost. Come on and say amen here. And so they got a third, they got 30, then they got 64. But then after that, they had the Feast of Tabernacles. What does that mean? That means that no longer am I just looking for the Passover. Not only am I looking for the Pentecost, meaning that that I have a heart there, but I'm looking at this is going to be a way of life, because a tabernacle is where you live. And so this is a way of life for me, that I continue to progress and I continue to increase every day of my life. And I wake up, God is going to bless me every day of my life. I walk in the abundance of blessings. I walk in the hundredfold. I walk in what he has for me. I receive the things that God intend for me to receive. Ain't nobody getting it. The devil ain't stealing it. He can't hinder it. I'm getting everything because this is a way of life for me. I get healed when I'm supposed to. I get delivered like I'm supposed to. I get my peace like I'm supposed to. And I have joy in the midst of sorrow like I'm supposed to. Lord, have mercy in here. In other words, I'm walking in the hundredfold now. I'm living in it. I'm living proof of the hundredfold. Y'all with me? I'm trying to help somebody here. Let's go back to Moses' tabernacle. Moses' tabernacle had three parts: the outer court, the inner court, and the holiest of holy. In the outer court, you can go there. That's the 30-fold. The outer court had more people. 30-fold has more people. The outer court had more people. And in the outer court, you had the brazen laver, and you had the altar of sacrifice. You had people sprinkling blood. You had flesh. You had people cutting up goats and cutting up sheep, and they had pigeons and turtle doves and stuff. All of this was going on in the outer court. Everybody had robes on. They had incense, and they were doing stuff. And if you get fascinated with the stuff that's going on in the 30-fold realm, you'll be so used to it. You start looking at it, and you start, man, ooh, this is beautiful. I like what's going on. Everybody's working. Everybody doing something. But it's a whole bunch of flesh out in the 30-fold. But you got to get to a place that said, I'm not going to stay and be satisfied. After you've been in the 30-fold so long, you ought to say, I need to go into the 60-fold. What's the 60-fold? Let's go further into Moses' temple and go into the 60-fold. The 60-fold is when you get into the holy place, into the inner court. Amen? In the inner court, that ain't a whole bunch of people. Only a select few. They're called priests. They can draw near to God when other folks can't. Lord have mercy. That you got to understand here that I'm in the 60-fold now. I'm in the place now where there ain't no flesh. You know what's in that? You know what's in the inner court? What's in the inner court is incense, which means prayer. And there's bread, which means the word. So ain't nothing but prayer and the word going on inside. Come on and say amen. But not only that, but there is a light in there by olives and the candle. And what that means is, that means that there is, that light in there means that you're being enlightened as you come into the 60-fold. Come on and say amen. But then there is another place, and that place is the holies of holies. That place, it has even less people go into that place. I wish I had somebody. So I don't want to be where everybody else is. I want to progress to where it looks like it's just me and God preach up in here. It looks like it's just me and God. And when you get into the holies of holies, you get there, and what's in the holies of holies? You have the mercy seat. You have the anointed cherubims. You have the ark of the covenant. And so in other words, God remembers the covenant he has with you. Oh, come on and say amen. And so you can get mercy in that place. You can receive what is for you in the covenant. And then he says inside of the ark, he said that is the rod of Aaron. In other words, there's the chosen purpose of God right there for you in the holy place. I wish I had somebody in the house. And not only that, what else is in there? He said there's the Ten Commandments. In other words, that is the law of God. And I recognize him. I recognize his law. But not only that, there is no other light, because God is the light. Preach up in here. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Anyone come to the Father, he must come by me. I wish I had somebody. He said, I am the light of the world. And so since he's the light of the world, I don't need nobody else's light. I come into this holy place. But you know what else is in there? He said, there's a pot of manna. I wish I had somebody. In other words, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no. Lord, have mercy in here. Am I the only one feel excited about what God has shown me? And I'm the only one feel excited about this word being preached. I'm examining my soil, and I find myself in the hundredfold. I want to be in the holiest of holies. I want to be in the place where God feeds me. I want to be in the place that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Oh, come on and shout amen in here. Come on and shout hallelujah. Do I have anybody to say, I'm examining my soil. Lord, you can plant your word in me. Lord, your word can grow in me. And as the word grows, and they always say, the preachers say, Lord, let me decrease that you might increase. And so what's happening in my life when I get in the holies of holies, when I get in God's presence, then God begins to increase in my life. And I come out like Moses. They told Moses, we don't want to see that face. What face you talking about? Your face shines like God. And if you keep looking at that face, it's going to kill us. Well, here it is. Keep looking at this face, because I'm not about to cover it up. Moses put a veil on his face, but God said, don't cover it up now, because they need to die. They need to die to self. The Bible tells us that we must first lose our soul before we can find our life. I wish I had somebody here. We gotta die in order that we might live. Jesus said, take up your cross every day and follow me. Do I have anybody that say, I want to look like God? Well, in order to look like God, you gotta start looking like Jesus. So what did Jesus look like? Just look in the mirror. That's what he looked like. He looked like you and I. Come on and shout amen in here. He went through all the trials we could go through. He took all the pain that we could go through. He took up an old rugged cross. Oh, come on and say amen in here. Where the old preacher would say, he came down through 39 prophets and 40 in two generations. He took up an old rugged cross, but he went up the Golgotha's hill. They call it the Via Dolorosa. He walked up the hill, but he stumbled a little bit. And the Bible says they took a black man by the name of Simon and gave him the cross. And the songwriter said, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world they go free? There is a cross for everyone. And do you know there's a cross for you and me? Come on and shout yes in here. And the Bible says that if we're going to be like God, we got to be like Jesus. Jesus took up a cross. cross. He said, no man take my life, but I lay it down. Are you willing to take your cross? Are you willing to lay it down? Come on, we got to look like Jesus. Jesus took nails in his hand. See, you won't crucify yourself, so God has somebody else to crucify you. So don't get mad at the crucifiers. Just take it like a man. Take it like the Son of God. I wish I had somebody. They put nails in his hands, and they put nails in his feet. So you can't hang yourself high. So they had to hang him high, and they stretched him wide, and they had a centurion soldier. Oh, come on and say amen here, that witnessed Jesus in the judgment and saw he didn't say a mumbling word. But when Jesus got on the cross, he witnessed Jesus doing the same thing. And Jesus said, Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's